try to give a little bit of a background to understand a little bit what the Ramchal was all about. The truth is, Ramchal goes into our history as being one of the most brilliant and saintly personalities. Ramchal comes on the scene on the backdrop of Shabbos Tzvi. There are klal after each period in history of cruel punishment. It always comes, it's followed by some sort of a tremendous outpouring of the Rachmim and Hashemayim. The course of history keeps changing. You have Midas Adin, you have Midas Rachmim, Midas Adin, you have Midas Rachmim. The Moshe after Churban Beis Hamikdash by Srishan came the Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle, the body of the great Chachmei Yisroel. Comes after the destruction of the second Bayis, Churban Bayis Sheni, that brought in the whole era of the Mishnah and the Gemara, which brought light and hope to Yidden in Golus. So ultimately, when it came the Gzeiras of Tach V'Tat, which were basically the Chmelnytsky pogroms, where thousands and thousands of Yidden were murdered, robbed, and pillaged by a group of peasants, their leader Chmelnytsky is known. Yidden were looking for something. Yidden were looking for something, and they thought that certainly this is the era that's going to usher in so much tzara, so much problems, all of the robbing, the murder, all of the tzaras, that this must be a hachona to something greater, to something bigger. And they thought that this is somehow going to herald an approach of a dawn, and certainly has to be followed by the period of Mashiach. And this desire was something very strong, because as a matter of fact, there were Ramozim. There were some great people that actually calculated that the year 1648, which is Nach Tach, is a year which has significance for the coming of Mashiach. For example, Shnas Tach, which is 408, was the remez at that time which were given is Bezois Yovo Yaharin. Zois is 408. Bezois Yovo Yaharin Ola Kodesh. When we have the Beis HaMikdash, we have the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen Gadol is able to enter in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. So the remez was Bezois. In the year 5408, response to 1648. But that's the Tkufa. That's going to be the Tkufa where Mashiach is going to come. And Mamela, all the horrible massacres in their minds were at least Chevle Mashiach. These were the pangs of Mashiach, which is going to usher in Mashiach. So to those that were actually seeking and looking for this, the hint of that was the arrival of Shabbos Tzvi, who was basically the son of a merchant, a descendant of Spanish descent. And that seemed to be a very strong possibility. Lamaise Shabbos Tzvi was born in Izmir, in Smyrna, it was in 1626. You have to realize that this person was not a poshut man, not on the other side. But Shabbos Tzvi had tremendous talent. He was a tremendous ilui, he was a great scholar. As a matter of fact, in his young age already, his teachers, his rabbeim, they marveled at his mental ability, and they predicted a great future for him. And when he was only 15 years old, he already studied very strongly, was steeped already in the study of Kabbalah, at the age of 15 already. And he attracted a circle of young men with whom he began to teach Kabbalah. He also happened to be blessed, let's call it, with a sweet voice. He used to sing with them, and used to touch their neshamas. And the subject matter of the singing also were lyrics or texts, mystical texts that were filled with the anticipation of the arrival of Mashiach. So the chaburis that he had, the time that he spent with them, things always were hinting about the Yonim Tak of Mashiach. Also his anhoge was lamala from any average person. It was ecstatic behaviors, do a lot of tanesim, used to do a lot of fasting. And Bechlal, he had his tremendous charismatic behavior, charismatic person, which generated basically a mode of ecstasy, an enthusiasm which basically caught on like wildfire. So Maisa, he made his first blunder. His first blunder was that in the shul of Smyrna or in Izmir, he made the first blunder because he pronounced the Shem Amfairish the way it is. He took the Shem Yitkevokke and he pronounced it. States that this is something which is only would be permitted to Kohanim the Beis Hamikdash. This tremendous azus at the time arose all of the Rabbonim in the area they got together, and they actually put him in Chelim. That was the first step, so to speak, where negativity arose against him. And you saw already where his behavior, where he was leading to. Lamaisa, he was a disgraced person at that particular time, so he realizes he has to move on. He can't continue over here. And he goes in search of other communities, and he comes to Constantinople. So when Shabbatzi comes to Constantinople, he makes an acquaintance with somebody by the name of Avraham Yocheni. Now this Avraham Yocheni added to the deception of Shabtai Tzvi by publicizing that he has an old cloth, an allegedly old manuscript, which in that manuscript basically it predicted that Shabtai Tzvi has Mashiach. And I have the lotion of the text. The basic scroll of that particular parchment read as follows. It said there, behold, the son had been born to Mordechai Tzvi in 1626. It says there that he will subdue the great scorpion and take for himself the strength of the snake, which means that we'll be able to destroy all of our enemies, and he will be the true Mashiach. Sure. So, Shabtai now is armed with proof. It's an old manuscript which predicts that, in fact, that he's going to be Mashiach. So now he travels to Salonika. And he comes to Salonika and he hopes that the leaders of the community will accept his claim. The Derek Klal, most of the Rabbonim in that area also, they were not fooled with him. They did not go along with him. But however, the common folk were caught up with him, again, due to his charismatic personality. And even Klal, they were hoping that it's true. Even were already overwhelmed by all of the tsaris and all of the pain and all of the suffering, waiting for his speedy redemption, as we always say, b'meira b'yameinu. And therefore, they would like to believe and to accept everything that was said, and in fact that he is the Mashiach. The Maisataki is following grew greater and greater, more and more. And he announces one day, he's getting married. Marriage celebration. Nu, Shabtai Tzvi, he arrives to the Chasana. You have the chuppah set up. Everybody's there. Givaldi Yoilam, there's only one problem. Where's the cow? Small problem. It turns out that the veiled kala was actually a sefer Torah. He's marrying a sefer Torah. He's above. He's not still marrying like anybody else. He used to get married. He could marry. He marries a sefer Torah. So the veiled kala was really a sefer Torah. That was Shabtai Tzvi. The leaders of Salonika, when they saw that, that really took them out of their, this is so much too much to take already. So finally, they followed the same lead as the original Kehillah, the Kehillah Taki in Smyrna, and they also put him in Chayim. Put him in Chayim, what does he do? So he moves on. So he moves on further. It wasn't like today, where days of the whole world is very small, you can't really hide too much. But from one community, he moved on to another community. Finally, makes his way to Cairo, and so on. There, Taki gets married with a deranged girl by the name of Sora. This girl, Sora Lamaisa, basically who was also suffered from the Xeris of Tach Vitat, she claimed that she was destined to become the wife of Mashiach. So she claimed she's going to become the wife of Mashiach. He marries her, and Shalom al Yisroel. So she finally decides that he has to move now to Eretz Yisroel. So he comes to Eretz Yisroel, and again, basically, this is talking about a number of years passing already, and a lot of his disgrace had been forgotten in certain communities in certain areas. And in addition, because he had a lot of money supplied by this person, as we mentioned before, this Avraham Yocheni was a rich person. He supplied him with a lot of money. There's another person also by the name of Rafol Chalebi. Because Chalevi also basically was very rich and he believed in him. And he gave him a lot of money to distribute for tzedakah. So the fact that he showed some generosity as well, and you think it's also considered to be a chelik of his piety, a chelik of his madregis and his milas, that all turns in the direction to point that he is a man of substance and he has great potential. So Shem Zaytzvi comes to the realization and says, listen, in order, he says, to be able to enhance the image of Mashiach, he says, what he has to have, he needs a Novi, who's going to come and establish, you know, that his advent, that Mashiach is coming, similar to the way the Gemara says, the Gemara says in Erev, and the Gemara says, before the coming of Mashiach, you have a Liyu HaNovi. The Novi's going to come, he's going to date before at least, and he's going to say that Mashiach is coming. So who does he have? He has a person called Nosan Huazosi. So Nosan from Gaza. So Nosan Huazosi, he becomes the one, and he says that he received this message from Hashemai, and he says that Shabbat is going to be the true Mashiach. And Mameli was very eloquent with a lot of speeches and a lot of letters, because he declares that the kingdom of Shabbat Tzitzis that would be declared soon, and he says that Shabbat Tzitzis is going to remove, he says, the crown from the head, he says, of the Turkish Sultan. But ultimately Shabbat Tzitzis is going to move right into the position of royalty. This was the prophecy which was mentioned by Nosan Huazosi, and so on. So, in 1665, the Shabbat Tzvi moves on further. He leaves Eretz Yisrael, returns to the birthplace, Akademis of Smyrna. He returns there, where the original Cherem was already smothered, because Bita was already so popular. So all of the history of the past basically was covered up completely. And he gained a lot of miles because his followers told all kinds of myths and all types of things of one supernatural powers that were attributed allegedly to Shabbat Tzvi. And he did a lot of things because he had koiches. So in Lamaisa, what happens is he goes back to the shul of Izmir in Smyrna. He goes into shul, and with great fanfare, they blow shofar, and there officially he was announced that he's Mashiach. And the strength that he had behind him was so strong that the Torah leaders in general just couldn't do anything. Because all of the leaders of the community who strictly and very strongly opposed it and were against it, fortunately, so they were helpless. And the Olam, aesthetically, that they burst out in song, he says, long live the King Mashiach, and so on and so forth, and this is what happened. And that fever didn't stop there. Basically, it went on and on, went to Eretz Yisrael, and it goes, this was just the beginning, because letters were written, and again, and the message goes on, were sent to all major Jewish communities. And the point is, it became such a reality that normal life came to a standstill, people were selling off property, because Mashiach's coming, everybody's going to Eretz Yisrael. Ad kerei kach, it was accepted as Mamshas truth. The positive side of it was, if there is a positive side, is that Yidden began really to do tshuva. Yidden began to do tshuva because if the arrival of Mashiach is imminent, and Mashiach is now ready to take us out of Golus, so we want to be worthy of it. So Yidden actually turned, many Yidden takers turned to do tshuva. It came to a point that many Yidden that originally who had questions on their character years before, in the sense that they would not have been accepted as kosher witnesses, due to the questionable character. But now that they did tshuva, so now they were accepted and they were considered to be greater people. And the desire to fulfill all the aspects of the achonas of the preparation, lemaisa reached its height when children, actually at the age of 10 or 12, were very quickly married. Why? Why were they quickly married? Young age, 10 and 12, children were quickly married. Because Avishai Tzvi told us, based upon what the Gemara says, that Mashiach will not come until all of the Nishamas that Hashem intended to be brought into this world are actually born. Ein ben David bo, the Gemara says, at sheyichlu kol hanshama shebeguf. There's a guf, Rashi says, there's a noitzer of Nishamas. All of the Nishamas have to have a chance at least to come down once in this world. The way to bring down more Nishamas is to get married and have more and more children being born. So the way quickly started marrying off children at the youngest of ages, in order to bring down many, many more Nishamas. In order to be able to Mashiach to come. Again, as mentioned, leaders of the community were not able to put a halt to all of this frenzy and to this hysteria. And as much as they opposed it, they were helpless against it. Lamaisa, he again announced that he's going to remove the crown of the Turkish Sultan, he said, from the throne. And he says, in all of the nations of the world, he said, would acknowledge, he says, that he's going to be the ruler. And he started already changing already Dine HaTorah. What he did subsequent to that was he started to abolish the fast of Asara B'Tavis. You don't have to fast anymore. Once it's the year of Mashiach already, you don't need to fast. That's something because of an event of the past, which is now going to be rectified. So he abolished the fast, and then it says, Faket, he turned it into a Yom Tov, This is the way they celebrated. It was the whole frenzied mood of the multitudes were, this is Sanai and Ayin Hagi. Clearly now they felt it. They could touch the idea that in fact that Mashiach is here already. Lamaisa, he comes to Turkey. He comes to Turkey. And Nosan Huazozi, it was Nosan Huazozi, the way he had supposedly prophesied. And he was saying that he's going to remove the crown of the Turkish Sultan. So these rumors reached the ears of the government. Instead of being received with honors, he was immediately put under arrest, and he was put into chains, and he's taken into the palace. Now, he was charged with treason. Of course, he began now to back off, and Shabtsevsky says, he said, a kid, instead of becoming a ruler, he says I'm a simple Jew. He says, I'm someone, he says, that merely just came from Eretz Yisrael, for Yitzhak Shalayim. Basically, I'm a Sholach, he says. I just came to collect funds. That's all I am, he says. So Mamishi took the turn just the opposite. They did not believe him, but due to bribes, well-placed bribes, they gave him a very unusual mild treatment in prison. They even allowed visitors. Now, what's interesting thing is that the Taz is basically the leader, the God Lador at the time, the Taz. So the Taz basically was asked to try to investigate the secret or the truth behind Shabtsevsky, and he sends the Taz himself, basically, he sends his grandson and another relative to investigate, he says, Shabtsevsky, and they go to visit him in prison. And they visit him in prison, and it's an amazing thing that Shabtsevsky almost succeeded in convincing them to the claims that he had, except, he says, what happened was, he almost succeeded, but the Maisa, there was something that happened which basically caused, again, the collapse of the whole idea of the Shabtsevsky movement. And again, this was the messenger told that there's a particular person called Nechemya Cohen. Nechemya Cohen, by the way, was an independent person who independently predicted, he said, that Mashiach is coming. He didn't say Shabtsevsky. He just predicted that Mashiach is coming. So Shabtsevsky, with foolish confidence, figured that this Nechemya Cohen might be someone who would be able to back him as well. So he wrote to the Taz, he says, that he should send this prophet, this way he called him, Nechemya Cohen. He wanted to give him a title prophet, because he hoped that this Nechemya was going to back him. So it's for his benefit to call him a prophet, and he's going to back him. So there's a prophet, basically, who's backing me. That was a mistake. Because the first Nechemya came to visit him, and clearly he says, so he was a fraud. And he exposed him, not only exposed him, he actually mastered him to the Turkish authorities, that Shabtsevsky in fact did have kavanas to depose the Muslim government and to place it with his own. Maisi was confronted by the Sultan. He was accused of plotting against the Turkish government, like Muhammad before him. And the Sultan offers him a choice, very simple choice. He says, either, he says, you convert to Islam, he says, or you become executed. So what does Shabtsevsky do? He converts. He converts. Now you can imagine. That once Shabtsevsky talked, in fact, that he converts, the man who announced that he was a Mashiach, now he converts. That for many, many people, of course, by the way, he moved already his head covering. He removes his head covering, and he puts on the white turban of Islam, the Al-Azachin. The followers watched it, and the community was horror stricken. Obviously, they realized now that they were led down, you know, this false path. And it was a traumatic impact. There's such a tremendous letdown that happened, that the multitude of simple believers, they put so much faith into this person. It was a very, very dangerous period, a very, very dangerous proof in the period. In other words, the side was a dangerous proof when they believed in him, but then even after that, the letdown was a tremendous, tremendous yerida. But what's interesting is that some of his closest followers, Ramayza, converted to Islam as well. Because they tied it that this is also part of the secrets of Kabbalah, is that before you are able to rise to great heights, there has to be a tremendous yerida first. So you have to sink very, very low. And the idea is, because the lower you sink, is to be able to retrieve all of the sparks of Kedusha, which are trapped in the lowest of areas, to be able to redeem them, to bring them up. So they wanted to explain away our Pi Kabbalah, that this in fact was a Kabbalistic procedure, and this is only later on, again, to bring out the reality that he's Mashiach, and he's going to return back, and again, and to be able to step into the shoes of what he claimed. This was the situation. What brings us now to the Ramchal, because This had a tremendous, horrific impact on Shabtzi Tzvi. It didn't end, by the way, when he died. Shabtzi Tzvi, when I said he dies. And even decades later, he says, there were, by the way, other imposters also appeared in the horizon. You know, it happened, he was not the only one. It was a group which was led by someone, Nechemya Chayun, as we know. There's another guy with this. And he was also very successful in one of the great Goyim in Prague, with David Oppenheim. David Oppenheim gave him a haskoma when he came to Prague, Nechemya Chayun. He was able, due to his koyach, and to be able to convince him to give haskoma. Not only him, the Smichas Chachomim, the Naftali Katz, the greatest Balam Ukubolim, was also duped by him. And later, they don't want his haskoma back, and he didn't give it back to him. And he continued to print it and publicize it, even though it was already cancelled. But nevertheless, he was able to sell his falsehood to the point that he comes to Amsterdam, you know, the Tenichion, and the Chacham Tzvi was very, very alert, had a very good nose, and he realized who the person was, started to fight him. But the Sephardic community there accepted him very, very strongly, to the point that Chacham Tzvi had to leave Amsterdam, as Kidu as is known. So, as a result of that, as an offshoot of that, the Chachomim were very, very, as you say, very, very little. Whenever there was a situation, someone smelled with Kabbalah, right? Always they put up, you know, the antennas went right away up. And Kemat, they did not allow anyone to get deeply involved with Kabbalah out of concern that this might be another either an imposter or a secret follower of Shabtzi Tzvi, which he had followers, which continued basically to follow and believe in for many, many years later. So we bring us to the Ramchal, basically, was born in 1707. Again, after the disillusionment, many years after the disillusionment of Shabtzi Tzvi, and they say that the leaders then had strong opposition of any trace that smelled of messianism, anything that smelled of that. So, in Italy, for example, where Shabtzi's movement was extremely powerful, we know that the Rabbonim over there condemned the study of Kabbalah, and they saw it as a smokescreen for perpetuating the teachings of Shabtzi Tzvi, or being sympathizers of Shabtzi Tzvi. Ramchal, he was a truly great man, a tzaddik, extraordinary personality, suffered tremendously and needlessly because of these suspicions. Ramchal, as Rosh HaTevis implied, Rav Moshe Chaim Mitzato, is author, of course, of the classical Musaf Sefer, excuse the Shoram, among many Svarim, Das Tfunis, Derech Hashem, and so on. Called Ramchal, who was born basically to wealthy parents in Padua. He lives in Italy. He learns Tanakh, he learns Gemara, he learns Kabbalah with a local Rav. Of course, you know he's Rebbe in Kabbalah. He says he was also Rabishaya Basam. Rabishaya Basam was highly respected, Noilam HaTorah, by all the great Rabbonim all over. Rabishaya Basam was the Rebbe of Ramchal. Ramchal mastered all areas of Shas, all areas in Peyus Hanigla, but at the same time was tremendously great and put a lot of emphasis in the study of Kabbalah. In addition, being that the brilliant man that he was, he had knowledge come up in all areas of all the other Chochmas as well. Ramchal basically acquired extensive knowledge in Latin, in many other languages, and he developed a natural talent as a poet. There's a lot of poetry written. As a matter of fact, there are even plays in the Goyishe world or in the secular world, they consider him a playwright. They don't look at him as Ramchal as a great Baal Musik. They look at his creativity as a playwright. And some of the plays, interesting, that were written, it's an interesting thing, great Malik Ramchal, he wrote it al-derech moshel sim to the Shir HaShirim, which will have in the secular world to be totally, totally different way, altogether. Like anybody who writes a play, a producer, playwright, he writes plays. A tremendous, tremendous play for Kaponim in writing piyutim, writing poetry. And his Loshin, his tremendous command of the language of Loshin Kodesh, was also high and above of most. He was particularly impressed everyone because he wrote a whole treatise on Kabbalah in Loshin Aramish, which was called and referred to as the second Zohar HaKodesh. So you have the Zohar HaKodesh, right, from Shimon Nechoi, and you have the second Zohar HaKodesh, which is from the Rav Chal. So one of the young, let's call it Talmidim, followers, wrote to his friends with great enthusiasm about the Sefer, And he writes that Ramchal must have received instructions also, and there's some that Ramchal himself said that also, that he had a Magid Min HaShemayim, that he actually received instructions from Magid Min HaShemayim from heaven. And excerpts of this letter reached Jewish leaders in Germany, in Hamburg, in Alten, in Wandsbek, and to the Torah leaders in Europe. This was very, very suspicious. They already thought, here we have someone else. He already has a Magid Min HaShemayim. This man is living in fantasy. And who knows what he's building himself up to be again. Maybe this is turning to another, this is going to be another Shabbat Tzvi. They were very, very concerned. One of his greatest and fiercest opponents was another Gadol by the name of Reb Moshe Chagis. Chagis is someone from Eretz Yisrael, from Tzfas, who came for various reasons, came to Chutz La'aretz, and he lived in Germany, and lived in many areas in Europe. And he became the fiercest opponent, and he writes an excited letter to the rabbis of Venice, urging the Rabbonim that the Ramchal's Kabbalistic teaching had to be suppressed. And of course, this hurt very much the Ramchal by the accusation. He defended himself passionately, trying to show that he has no connection with Sab Shli Tzvi. He states he's not a prophet. He says, I'm not the son of a prophet. I'm not a miracle worker. But he says, by divine grace, he says, I was able to receive revelation. But that he did maintain that he had. So the Rabbonim, the Tkufa, they insisted that he surrender all of his Kabbalistic writings. This was much more than he had. They insisted that he basically surrenders all the Kabbalistic writings to the custody of his Rebbe, which is Abshaya Basan, and also that he stops engaging in Kabbalistic teachings until he goes to Eretz Yisrael. But here in Europe he can't do anymore. The Maistak, he accepts the demands, the Ramachal accepts it, and he goes along to it. And he did not do anything, did not publish anything, unless with the permission taken from his Rebbe. And he was always accused, always found being accused of various misconduct and breach of promise and so on and so forth. Ultimately, it led to the point that the leaders of Venice, Rabbon of Venice, pronounced a cherem on him and they burned his writings. They actually burned his writings. When Karl decides, he leaves Italy, he moves to Amsterdam also to print his forum. He moves to Amsterdam. He finds friends and recognition, and that's where he writes the Mesillas Yeshurim. The Yeshurim was written in Amsterdam, which since, of course, has become a classic in the highest prominence, place that it occupies among all Musas Varim. So at the age of 36 now, he's Oyle Teretz Yisroel, and he resumes his study of Kabbalah, right? After living in Eretz Yisroel with his family for 3 years, they were stricken the whole area by a plague. Another Ramchal passes away at the age of 39. All of the godless that you hear about, Ramchal, the man only lived with all of his accomplishments and the legacy that he left behind, right, revealing the tremendous, profound mind, the deep understanding of Hashkofa, the masterful command of Lashon Kodesh, and so on, all of the talents that he had. So he was born in 1707 and he was nipped in 1746. Let me just mention one more of this. I have to tell you that In Frankfurt, was the Jewish community of Frankfurt was one of the most prestigious in all of Europe. It was Prague, it was Frankfurt. Frankfurt goes back, the Jewish community in Germany, Frankfurt goes back 1,000 years. It goes back to the time of the Rishonim. It's mentioned, of course, later in the Tshuvos HaRamah. Ramah says, I respect Chachma Frankfurt, that's the way it was written. The Rishonim is also written. I respect Chachma Frankfurt, he says, like Yavne v'Chachomeo. Like Yavne v'Chachomeo. Always had the greatest ability. So the Shua Kodesh was also loved in Frankfurt for many years. Until in 1614 there was a robbing again, a pillaging, they were attacked. And that time the Shua Kodesh started to leave. Before the Pnei Yeshua, the Yeshua becomes Rav in Frankfurt. The Rav in Frankfurt is the Mechaber of the Shalz Yeshuv is Shev Yaakov. Shev Yaakov, among all the Gedolei Yisrael in Frankfurt, was really one of the only few that wrote Shalos Tshuvos, because Chedushim, Svarim, in all areas of Torah, there were many, many. But per se, Shalos Tshuvos, answers, the Shalos that were sent from all over the world, from all over Europe, Shev Yaakov is one of the few of the Rabbonim in Frankfurt. And if you want to know the godless of a nation, you see, in fact, what is godless is, you have to take a look in the Sefer, who are those asking Mishailas? So if you look in the Sefer Shev Yaakov, you'll see among those who asked Mishailas was the Pnei Yeshua himself. Yeshua, particular Shaila, who does he write to? To give him an answer. Then Yeshua writes to the Shev Yankov. Shev Yankov is Nifter in 1740. And if Ben Yeshua becomes the successor, succeeds him later on in 1742. So, Shev Yankov gains wide acceptance, and he was known as one of the fiercest fighters against anything that even vaguely was connected with Shavsetzvi. If he had any cheshash, he went all out, b'cher v'chanis, against him. This placed him at loggerheads also with Ramchal. Why? Because as mentioned, Ramchal was making his way from Italy, and was making his way to Amsterdam, from the Sfarim, as we said, and so the Shoran's letter is written there. He passes through Frankfurt. Stake. He passes through Frankfurt, and Rishav Yankov, by the way, his name was Rav Yankov Katz, Rav Yankov HaKohen Papert, that was his name. By the way, he had a yeshiva in those days of hundreds of Talmidim. In those days, it's not like today, where you can just travel, just whenever you want to, or however you want to. To have a yeshiva of hundreds of Talmidim is something extraordinary. He had a yeshiva literally of hundreds of Talmidim back in Frankfurt, and Michal passes through, and he gets into a discussion with him. Yankov Papert gets a discussion, and he questions him about his beliefs, and chided him about things that he disapproved of, to the point, he says, that he made him sign a statement. The statement, this is the way it was the statement, on pain of excommunication. It means not to teach to anyone in the world, whoever, wherever he may be, the knowledge of Kabbalah, either orally or from a book. Not even the writings of the Arizal or the Zohar, much less the things that I myself dreamed of. This is the way he had to sign it. Now, the Papa has mentioned this in 1740. So this, as you see, Rabbi Yisai was in a simple situation. Ramchal, in the few years that he lived, 39 years, was also not simple years. And the man, in spite of all the opposition, all the tzoros, and all of the pain, was able yet to accomplish so much. I need to say to you that in Cheskel Sarna, Sheshiva of Hebron, he writes, in terms of describing the Ramchal, this could I just to know, he writes as follows, he says, Ramchal, he says, he paves the way to Avodas Hashem, as the Rambam did in Halacha, so did Ramchal do in Yira. Ramchal in Yira is what the Rambam is to Halacha, this is the equation. What the Rambam did in Halacha by writing the Yod HaChazoka, Ramchal is the Sefer, that's the Yod HaChazoka, that's in the world of Mutzer. So of course, as we get to know it, we'll see it, the masterpiece of brilliance and clarity, right, systematically teaching a person, that's what goes from one level to another level, from Madrega to Madrega in the areas of Avedis Hashem. But you realize that Ramchal's Sefer is based upon a Bryce of the Pinchas Ben Yoyer, which is a systematic derech, step by step, stage by stage of different levels of Avedis Hashem that a person internalizes as he goes from one Madrega to another, till he reaches the ultimate, which is, we come to Shaar Kedusha, we come to Ruach HaKodesh. Right? There's been a Chassidus, maybe the day this, and this maybe the day that, and so on, Nikias, the Haris, Rizis, and so on and so forth, Anova. This is all different Madregas, in that some of the Prokim have many Prokim devoted to one Madrega. Not just one chapter to one Madrega. There's a number of Prokim dealing with one Madrega. So the Shoran, basically, for clarifying all of these steps, analyzing each one, with all of its complexities, it really is a journey in how to grow really in Avodas Hashem. So I think that we take a look a little bit, let's take a look on the sheet that we have here before we start, give an idea a little bit by the name of the Sefer. Ramchal does not tell us why he calls it Mesilas Yesharim. Did not tell us why he called it Mesilas Yesharim, which basically means the path of the upright, the path of the just. This is the Derech of Erlich Eden, Mesilas Yesharim. So take a look here, this sheet here is from Sefer Simchas Mordechai. It's a sefer which did a lot of work under Ramchal. And he points out, as we take a look, we'll go through it quickly. And he suggests, he says, from looking at other areas in the Ramchal, to suggest why he called the sefer Mesilas Yesharim, the path of the upright, or the path of the just. And he writes as follows, as we have here on the sheet. Rabbeinu Ramchal lo yehoyidiyonu estamoy v'nimuka l'kriya sifroi haniflo b'shem Mesilas Yesharim. He himself, the author himself, did not tell us the reason for calling him Mesilas Yesharim. Ach ein sofik, but there's no doubt shemechaber godel. When you have a great author, haboicher, shem misuyim l'sifro, you can be sure that the title has something that is something that captures the essence of the sefer. It's not just something to catch the eye of a person. Kavanozoi shenil mitgamki min Hashem shel haSefer. So when you see the name of the Sefer, there's something to be learned by the etzem name itself. Mahusoi, Magmosoi, the essence of the Sefer, the purpose of the Sefer, Derech HaLimud Boi. Vim Rabbeinu Leipirish. And that itself might be a message. The fact that he didn't tell us, Mashma Shesomach Al Hamayin the Sefer. It means because he relied that you're going to be able to derive my Kavona, Mesil Shisharim, Zichar Belief, by learning in the Sefer, you're going to find out why the Sefer is called Mesil Shisharim. You'll be able to figure it out on your own. And you're going to use it when you go through the various Inyanim Musa in the Sefer, you're going to understand how it relates, all of this relates to the common title of Mesilas Yisharim. So, Al Mashmois HaToyer Yoshor, he says, if you want to know, he said the Mashmois, when you talk about Yoshor, Yisharim, Yoshor means, of course, to be straight. Yoshor means to be truthful. As you can see, in the eyes of the Mesilas Yisharim, when he uses the word Yoshor, what does he mean by the word Yoshor? You can see what the Mesil Shisharim himself writes in his Hagdomah. And in Metz Hashem, we will start with the Hagdomah before we go to the... Because Hagdomah itself is a Torah Shleim on its own. Before even you go to the into the actual Sefer. And Shom Kosev Rabbeinu, Ramchal writes in the Hagdomah to the Sefer, When he talks about the inyan of Shleimus HaAvodah, he says like this, for Ahava, he says, love of Hashem, Vahayiro, Hadvekis, cleaving to Hashem, Yishar Chelke HaChesidus, and all other areas of piety. So he writes the following lesson, when you're dealing with Ahava, when you're dealing with Yiro, when you're dealing with Dvekis, Kvuim Belev Kol Odom HaYoshor, he says, Haschaloysov Yisadoysov, which means all of these things, if you want Ahava and Yiro, which are Madregas, you're going to find them only in the person who is Yosha. So Yosha seems to be the foundation upon which all the other Milas are built on. So if I want to start an excursion, trying to be able to reach Yiras Hashem, Ahavas Hashem, Shleimus, in Avedis Hashem, I have to acquire a mid of Yashris. Without Yashris, you can't begin to absorb these concepts. And as he points out, that Nirishim Mekoyim Amikro, that most likely that the source of this is from a pasuk in Kehelis, Ashur Solekim is Adam Yosha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man Yosha. So, Bein Hanatiyas HaChiyuvias, HaKiviyas Belev, he says, among all of the positive directions that a person has in his heart, Mitztayin Adam HaYosha Gam Bahavis HaChochma, a person has Adam Yosha. If you're not a Yosha, you want to, you have a love of wisdom. In other words, in order to have a drive to love Chochmah, you're searching for Chochmah. It's in the heart of an Adam Yosha. The definition of an Adam Yosha is that he has all of these she'ifas, he has all of these positive goals. As he points out, Kumashim Matayadosh Rabbeinu with Ramachal himself points out, later on, Perk Chabez, when he talks about Mishko Hachsidis, when he talks about Chasidis, Shlayuchal ish, this is his lotion. Shlayuchal ish la'atzliach v'mishkal azeh. A person cannot be matzliach when it comes to be able to be koine to acquire a high level of chasidus. Elo im yeh liboy yosher. So we see that yosher is the precondition. You have to have a heart of yashrus. That's what he points out. And he points out yeh ma'ayin al masav iyun godol. V'loy pnius. Yashrus means no ulterior motives. Yashrus means truthful. Yashrus means straight. A person knows where he's going at. He knows what his true taklus is. That the person has that before him. If he has the mid of Yashrus, he's truth to himself. This is the emes what he wants, not for side reasons, not for covet, not for other benefits, but really he wants and he understands that true purpose in life is to become closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu and to recognize and not to fool himself. Then you are able to build on that mile of Yashrus to be able to continue. And he saw, as he points out another inyan, for example, he shows it that all of the midos are based on yashrus. Take the mid of anova. He says, anova is humbleness. What's it got to do with yashrus? He quotes in Lenin, the next line, he says, take a look in Perek Chabez, he says, Mishehu bal seichel yoshar, yirishay mokim lagayva. Also yashrus. Yashrus is something that is a steer of the guide. The person with the Seichel Yosher is no Mokim for Gaiva. So if the person really finds within his heart, he finds that he has not refined the area of Gaiva, it means there's something lacking in his Seichel Yosher. His mind is really not refined. His mind is not on the right path. And so on and so forth. He goes on and on and on to point this out. So if we go further, Nimtzun Olamedim, go to the next paragraph. So what do we learn? Shayishor. That only those people, basically, who are upright, you have to first be an upright person. These are the Yesoidis in order to get positive direction. In other words, positive direction in Ahava. To get positive direction in Yira. He says, this is all true by people who are Yishorim. That's why the Pasuk says, look in the next line, Tehillim, it says, Yishorim bili boysom. You find always the Lushan in Tehillim also. The ultimate title is, you have to have the underpinnings of Yashas. Yishorim bili boysom. And this is really, this is the path to whom we have the journey leading to all of the Prokim, all the Madregas that the Mesilas Yishorim is giving us, this paved path to reach. Right? This is the highway to reach all these Madregas. But you have to have, right? You have to have the proper foundation to be able to build. The proper foundation is that you have to have Yashus. So there's a fascinating thing. The fascinating thing, go to the bottom. The Sefer Chizuk, which is the final section, the bottom of the sheet. It says, the Sefer Chizuk Ludvarim, you'll find an additional Chizuk, what we're saying. That Yashur really is the foundation upon which to build all of the Madregas that we are looking forward to. You find it's a fascinating idea. It says, Nishmas Kol Chai. At the end of Nishmas, we say this every Shabbos, Shom Kovu Chazal, Eseder Mahalalei Hashem Ka. It says, well, depends if it's Nusach Ashkenaz's fire, by the way. It says, Bifi Yishorim Tishalo, Ubedivrei Tzadikim Tizbore, Ubilshoin Chasidim Tisroimon, Ubekerb Kedoshim Tiskadosh. You see here four Madregas. Arba Dargis Elu, these four Madregas, Makpilois correspond Ledivre Rabbeinu B'Sifrei. It's a fascinating thing. These four Madregas respond to the four Madregas in the Sefer. Yishorim are those Heim Hamuchonim L'Avodas Hashem. Yishorim are those who are ready now to work on their Avodas Hashem. The first thing is Yishorim. And we point it out. Tzadikim is already Hashel of Hasheni B'Avodas. That's already the second Shlav. Right? That goes from Zahiris to Nikias. As we find, these are the various Madregas as we will go through it later. And then Chasidim, that's a Shlav HaShlishi. As we see in the Seder of the Sefer, Miprishis Ad Yiris Chayt. In the Ramchal, interesting. He says, then Kedoshim, that's the last, the Shara Kedushim. So it's amazing thing is that like, these four Madregas, in the order that you see Yeshorim Tesal of Divrei Tzadikim Tesbarech Chasidim. We see that the Madregas, Chasidim is the third item, is the third step, and you see in the Sefer, in Ramchal, in the Yeshorim, you see that Shara Chasidim comes back here. That'll be the third step, and ultimately the final one is the care of Kedoshim. Kedoshim is the fact that's the end, that's the fourth Madrega, and that is in fact in the Sefer Ramchal, this is going to be Taka the fourth, which is going to be the last step. But all of these four steps, Elohem Shalvei O'Aliyah B'Mesila Hamyuedis L'Yishorim. But these are to reach, these are the path, this is the path to reach these Madregas, to one already who is a Yoshor. So Koponim, that is the idea of Yoshor. Now what's interesting is with Cheskel Sana, he says, come out the same thing, but because Pesarna says one other Nikudah. He says, the truth is, the ultimate Yishorim were the Yovis HaKadoshim. The Yovis HaKadoshim are called in Chazal Yishorim. Sefer Breishis is called Sefer HaYosher. Sefer Breishis is called Sefer HaYosher. Say Chazal, take a look at the Gemara of the Zohar Daf Chof Hey. Why? It's a Sefer Shal Yishorim. Because that's the Sefer of the Yovis. Who is more upright? Who is more just than the Yovis? So Chazal said, the Yovis HaKadoshim were called Yishorim. So the truth is, Yishorim, the Ovis, who are on the highest Madrega, they are called Yishorim. Which means, even the Madrega of Yosher, there's Madregas. So you need Yosher in the beginning, and Yosher at the end. As a basic foundation, in your Avodah, and your Aliyah Avodah Hashem, you have to start out with Yashus. Mesilas Yishorim, this is going to be the path of those who have Yashus. If you want to be Matliach in any of my areas, this is the path of those who are Yishorim. If you Yishorim destroy them, you start first with Yishorim, that's the first Madrega. But ultimately you reach the Yag, the Ovis were more Yosher. As much as you are a Yosher, but the Ovis certainly on a much higher level of Yosher. The Ovis are called the Yishorim. The rest is called the Sefer Yosher. So when you conclude the sefer, when you finish sefer Mesilas Yesharim, and assuming that you are matzliach to be cutting all of the madregas till you have reached Shaarei Kedusha, then you have reached Yashrus again. But now you have reached Yashrus closer to the madrega of the others, which basically, which is consistent with what is said in Tana de Belayo, Chayiv Adam Loimar, Masa Yegia Masa L'Masa Avoisa. So ultimately, it comes out that Cheskel Sinai said, it's not Chassidus is the Iker, it's not Kedusha is the Iker. The Iker is to use these to come to the madrega of Yashrus again. Mesilas Yesharim. So in other words, you have to be a Yashur, first of all, to the cloud, to be able to embark, to be able to start your career in Avodas Hashem, and ultimately to reach the highest level of Yashrus. So the end of the road, again, end of destination is Yashrus. All of the other madregas, Hasidus is not a milo dita atzma just in itself, but to better to refine the person, and the person should be defined as the Yashur, because that's where the Avodas were defined. All the madregas that the Avodas had everything. Avodas had all the madregas in the Mesilas Yesharim. And what were they called? They were not called Hasidim, they were not called necessarily Kedoshim, which they were. Chazal called the others Yesharim. So the Brachos called the Sefer HaYosher, because the Sefer of the Yesharim. So you have to be a Yosher to begin, and ultimately to lead you in the Matzliach, after all of the Avodah, to become a Yosher to the highest level possible, and to be able to reach as much as one is able to the Madrega of the Avodah. Five of them, Loimah, Motigia, Masa, Lamasa, Avodah. So we begin, Rabbi Isai, the Hagdoma, if you have the Mesilas Yesharim here. If you have it, but I'll read it to you, just a few lines. I'll read you a few lines. Omar HaMechaber, it'll be clear enough. Omar HaMechaber. He says, Hachibur azeloi chibartiv lelamei livnei yodam esach lo yodou. I did not write this sefer to teach people something they did not know. In other words, the Mefarshim HaMesilas Yesharim point out that even though you'll find a lot of things that Yutaki didn't know, there's no question about it, but that was my purpose in the sefer. My purpose in the sefer was not to teach you those things that you didn't know. That'll happen also. That was not my purpose. The tachlis of the sefer was Elo lehaskiro mes hayedua lehem kivar. The tachlis of my sefer is to remind people that which they knew, he says, not only they knew it, but umefursim etzlam pirsum godul. They know it very clearly. There are things that we know very, very clearly. However, we don't concentrate on them. We don't think about them. It's somewhere in the back of our mind that we might have to fish it out to bring it from the back to the forefront. The seals of the Sharm Tain is that basically what I'm trying to teach you is not something that you don't know. But I want to heighten your awareness to make you live and to be able to touch and to feel and to breathe these concepts that them as you know, but they are hidden. Kiloitim se bereiv devorai. Because the truth is, in most of my words, he says, you're not going to find el dvarim shiroyv b'nei odom yoydim oisuf. V'loim mistapkim bim klal. Basically, no one's going to argue with what I'm saying. Most people already know it, he says. And most people, b'klal, have no doubts about it. Except, el shikifi roiv pirsumom, u'keneged ma she'amitom gluya lakol, to the degree that these are well known, and it's self-evident, they are routinely forgotten. He says, these things are basically routinely overlooked, and people forget about them altogether. In other words, as is pointed out, things that we consider to be simple, that itself is the reason that we are not metapol with it. People have a tendency to be metapol, they only get involved with things, right, that are complex, things that they see chidushim in it, things that they believe is something that shakes the world. But Gantz pushes the Zachin, he says, it's so pushed, why do you have to, there's no work necessary. This is a given, it's taken for granted. So being that these things that I'm going to teach you are dvorm pishutamoy, that itself is the reason why they are neglected. People take charge in big things, big pullers, things that are something that you gain fanfare, things that basically that people become the spoiler. But ma'asim yom-yomim, things on a daily basis, things that are routinely done by people, something that doesn't catch the eye of people, and as a result, so no matter, the emissaries, they are so important, and yet they are neglected, because they are so poshut, and people don't recognize the chashivas of it. So going on to say, he says, ha'hela mehemotzi. Rabban, as a matter of fact, says the Mishnah's Rabban. Rabban says that to them, this is the klal. He says the klal is the eighth in order. If somebody wants to really be in touch with something, the eighth, if somebody wants to be in touch, is to be mechadish something in an area. Is the B'chaim says, the Rabban says that a chiddish in something is basically what keeps you connected to that item. For example, no one gets up in the morning and when he sees the sun shining, he gets up with his followers. Oh, the sun came up again today. Nothing. Doesn't mean anything to him. But if he would be able to take some time and to think about what it means, the sun coming up, to think what is involved in the disciplines of nature, the way the world was created in, we see Mardi Gazach, we say in the Tzilis. But nobody thinks about it. It is so poshut. I mean that it's so poshut and it's so simplistic. But if you can find a chiddush in it, well, then this is the way to heighten your awareness. So that is the idea that Mesillas Yesharim says, I'm trying to bring out to you chidushim in these areas which are simple and yonah, that basically you know about them. But the more that you know about them, take it, because you know about them, therefore he says, there's a routine tendency that to have these items to be overlooked. So he says further, Al-Kain, he says, therefore, Ein hatoyelus hanilkov mezeh sefer yoytzi min akriya boi pamachas. Therefore, I want you to know, says Mrs. Yesharim, that the benefit from this sefer is not going to be obtained by learning it once, by reading through it once. So it means that, as Hashem, I don't know how far we get the end of the year, but that's not going to be the end of it. It means you have to start all over again. He says, the teyelus will not be obtained, he says, from a simple reading, he says, kikvar epsher, from one reading, it's very shayach that he's not going to find much more than what he knew before he read the sefer. In other words, he points out, only very little chidushim. The teyelus, the true teyelus that began by the sefer is, it has to be a function, it says, of continuous review. Because by reviewing it, that person is reminded from these things, remind them things which by nature people are prone to forget. And by reviewing again, and will take to heart the chayvis, right, that he tends to overlook. So the Mesillas Yesharim tells us that it's not enough basically to learn the sefer once, but one has to go over the sefer quite a number of times. This is the Chazor. So it's pointed out that in Dalia Sicheskel, from Cheskel Sarna, he says a very interesting thing. What you learn from here is that there's a difference if somebody learns something to know something, he says, or whether you're learning something in order to gain Yerushalayim. If you are learning something, he says, l'shem yediyah, well, if you learn something, you learned it. So you know it. You found out. If you learn. I mean, if you're mitzliach to learn. If you learn. So then, before the learning, you didn't know. Now you know. When it comes to Yerushalayim, this sefer is an avodah, is a limud of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, knowing doesn't make Yerushalayim. It has to penetrate into the heart. And in order to get the yediyah into the heart, you need the chazor. You have to be involved with it. You have to live with it. You have to think about it. And that's why you need the Chazorah over and over again. Many times Rishon Shadon used to say from his Rebbeim, great Balamusa, he used to say like this. In the same way, everybody agrees, there's a millions of miles of distance, Rabbi Yisai. There's millions of miles of distance from not knowing to knowing. Right? It's heaven and earth. The difference between not knowing and knowing are worlds apart. The same distance from knowing to put it into your heart. The same distance. The same distance that there is from not knowing to knowing. Everybody agrees. Tremendous gap. He says, from v'yodato hayoyim, v'yodato hayoyim, till v'ashevoy sel v'vecho, says, is a great distance. Seems it's just a couple of inches from the mind to the lathe. It's millions of miles of distance, he says. And this involves work and requires work. That's what Cheskel Sanna points out. Because learning Mesilas Yesharim is not simply Yediyah. This is a limud Yira. When you're talking about a limud Yira, this is something that really involves work. And it concludes with one Nekudah. And that is, the Bala Musa point out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically instilled in man, Yir Shumayim is different than Yir Tivis. It's nature for people to have fear from things that are dangerous. Animals. Animals in the animal world, they smell danger. And they know how to protect themselves. Yirat is something which is B'teva Ha'odon. Because Baruch Hu created Yirat to be part of man's nature. Yir Shumayim is not part of man's nature. Because if Yir Shumayim is part of man's nature in the same way as to have Yirat from danger, then there would not be a Bechira. People know what you have to do when you smell danger. But I have to tell you. You know what the right choice is. Yir Shumayim is something which is not B'teva. So Paul Henry of Israel Petterburger points it out in the Sefer Sha'aroyah. And therefore, by the way, this explains, you see how you can be medayik in every word of the Shoram. The Shoram again said, he said that the Shikha is Kfiroif Pirsumam, says, as much as these issues that I'm teaching you are so well known, the Shikha is also equally present. Why? Because there has to be a Bechira. And being that these things are so well known, and these things are so clear, so pashit, but the same thing, that the Shikha also on the same time. There has to be shikha. And one of the main distinctions, Rabbi said, the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Yudches, it says, what's the difference between a tzaddik and a rosha? A tzaddik, tzaddikim b'misosan kruim chayim, even when they are no longer here. Rishoyim, even b'chayayim, kruim mesim, says Rashi. Rashi says, tzaddikim yoidim shoyimusu. So says the Gemara. What does it mean, tzaddikim yoidim shoyimusu? Says Rashi. Yoidim shoyimusu means, noistim alibam yoim hamise. And therefore, being that they know that one day they're going to have to leave this world, Moishchim Yedeim in Ho'aveira. Rishoyim Einem Yoidim Ma'uma. She'oisim Atzmon Ke'enem Yoidim V'choitim. As if Misa doesn't exist. That's the idea of Haloma. Chizal Shem said, it's Misale Mehem. It's something that people tend to overlook. In other words, the Inyan of Haloma, the Inyan to overlook things that are Dvorim Yiduim, then Chizal Shem talking, Rabbi said, that's the Nekudas Achilim to Netzadik in Russia. The Russian, Emachzach has Eichmish. He lives as if it doesn't exist. Yomami says something, it's not for me, it's not nothing. He's just Mis'alim. Tzadikim live with an awareness of truth, and live with awareness of Emes. And one said, it was asked, this was a while back, it says, Yaskelo Yoyim Hamisa. A person should remember his Yoyim Hamisa. That'll bring him to children. But someone asked me, he says, why Yaskele Yoyim Hamisa? Why the day? The fact that he's going to die, isn't that the issue? What do you mean, the day that he's going to die? Yaskele, a person should be aware that he's going to die. Why the emphasis, the day that he's going to die? Because you know, Rabbi Yisak, because Shuv Yomecha Lutni Misoscho, the Gemara says a person should do tshuva one day before he dies. So the Gemara says, now how do you know when you're going to die? That's the point. Every day might be the Yoyim Hamisa. Yaskelo Yoim Hamise. Today might be the day, the Yoim, Rabbi said. That is the issue. So it's very poshut, Yoim Hamise. It's not so poshut. The Russia doesn't realize that. The Tzaddik realizes it. And that's what Mr. Goshon says. The more clear, the more emes something is, but equally, the Shikha and the Halom is Motzui. And that is the Tafkid. And that is the Avodah Odom. To restore that which he knows into reality. And it should become his Anhoges Achaim and his Hiluch Achaim.